Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, the official podcast of Left Wing Lock and a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther and John Enns. And joining us, a special guest today from the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, Pete Jensen. Pete, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of Left Wing Lock for sure. We have our own correspondence at NHL.com, but never hurts to double check before setting your fantasy lineup. And Left Wing Lock is definitely one of my go-tos for that. So like the work that Absolutely. You guys do, and happy to be joined with you.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we appreciate having you on. I will say, excuse me, I've been a fan of your work for a while. I've been a longtime listener of the NHL podcast. You guys do a great job over there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Nick Elberg is great. And is it Bob Bender?
Bob Bender is the producer. Yeah, he's a character, yeah. But we go way back and he does a great job. It's cool that we get to work together. I actually interned for Bob years ago when I was in college, and we both went to Penn State. So, and now we both work at the NHL. So we've had different connections at different times. Sometimes I have to, keep the show going in the right direction when he goes off the rails. But he's fun. He brings some entertainment to it for sure.
Yeah, he definitely does. I was listening to an episode recently, and he was just enough of the Oilers talk. And I just had to chuckle because, all four of us on this podcast, Tyler's not with us here, but the rest of us, we're all Oilers fans. So,
right.
I just had a good laugh about it. So, yeah. we're excited. This is episode number 50 for us. We're coming up on a year. We're going to do an NHL fantasy hockey trade deadline preview episode. We're going to try and just keep this fairly casual. I just want to kind of have a conversation, talk about the deadline, get your thoughts on a few different things, and we'll go from there.
Sounds great. Yeah, we're all looking forward to March 21st. And, whether it's Giroux or Hurdle or maybe Forsberg if Nashville falls out of it, or Jacob Chychrun, Mark Giordano, there are so many names out there, big names that I think could be on the move potentially. So we'll see. It always depends, right? If a team falls out of contention, like maybe the Sharks would be more likely to deal Hurdle, considering they've kind of bottomed out here. And I know Nashville's struggling, so a lot plays into it. But I think we can all expect Claude Giroux to be on the move most likely, right?
I think so. He's number one on most of the lists that I've seen, and he's the first player that I wanted to talk about when we get there. So I guess first things first, maybe tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
Sure. Yeah. NHL Jensen, and also check out the NHL Fantasy Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as well at NHL Jensen. And and we have, great content with Nick Elberga on the podcast. You can find my rankings on NHL.com/fantasy as well, from our waiver wire list to our 100 forward rankings, 50 defensemen, 25 goalies, top 200 overall. We update them every week, and we have DFS picks every day with any slate of more than like two games. So pretty much every day, especially after all the postponements earlier in the year. So we've been rolling out the picks as well. And we touch on sports betting a little bit in the Fantasy on Ice podcast as well. So pretty much whatever type of format you play in or follow, or even if you're just a general hockey fan, I think our show is a good listen to keep tabs on everything going on around the league with all 32 teams.
Yep, absolutely. You won't get any argument from anyone on this podcast.
Not at all.
So you mentioned that you went to Penn State. Where are you from originally? Where's home?
I'm from Long Island. So grew up like in a couple of different hockey teams, including the Islanders, but they were pretty bad for a while. So I was into the Sabres when I was in high school, like the Ryan Miller, Danny Briere type Sabres. And grew up on Long Island, and I live in Queens now, just a short train ride from the NHL's offices in New York City. So hockey was always, a big part of my life, but, I've been working at the league for about 11 years now. And certainly since working from the league, I can honestly say like it's as good as any other sport out there. Whereas like earlier in my life, maybe I was a little bit more of a football fan or a baseball fan. You know, it's not just my work, but I'm very passionate for the game. And I feel like over my time here, I've become so, so in love with the game for sure.
Well, as Canadians, of course, we love our hockey. Oilers or not, I mean, I just love watching hockey. So, well, that's really interesting. Yeah, that was my next question, is who is your favorite NHL team? And you covered that one for me, so thank you. How did you get started with fantasy hockey? Like, how long have you been playing it? I mean, I'm assuming you still play on a regular basis. You're not just, you know, doing the analysis. You're actually involved. And how did you get started on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast? How did that come about?
Yeah, sure. So the podcast came from years of me working at the league and, you know, building the foundation of our coverage with our rankings and our picks and kind of growing it from within. I've been playing, I think the first year I played fantasy hockey was like 2005, right after the lockout. I'm pretty sure I had Jágr on my team from when he was with the Rangers and he set their franchise records in a bunch of categories. So, and I had a bunch of those Sabres on my team as well. So that was really fun. And yeah, started playing in high school casually, played a little bit more in college, even though I was in the middle of Pennsylvania, couldn't watch my local teams as much because that was before, you know, the NHL had its current TV deals and stuff. So I saw a lot of Penguins, a lot of Flyers from central Pennsylvania. So played in some fantasy leagues then. And then, yeah, got into it in 2011 when I got hired by the league out of Penn State. So just kind of contributed in any different way that I could, covered some prospects, covered some different trends, some game previews, and some fantasy. And then fantasy kind of became my niche. They did some coverage, but nobody really had full ownership of it at the league. So it was something I was really happy to get involved in. And the cool thing is, like, every year I've been here has been, you know, me diving into different social media accounts or different platforms, like going on NHL Network or going, you know, starting our own podcast. I think it was in maybe 2018 we started it, 2018 or 2019. So that was a big step for us for sure. Our shows are on YouTube now. So we're kind of just building it upward each year, each passing year. We've been doing more and more successful things on different new platforms. So it's been fun to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for us too, we're thinking about going down that path on a few different mediums. We've kind of started the YouTube thing a little bit, but it takes time, right? And for
sure.
Us, we're just a couple of hacks doing this in our spare time. So more to come anyway. Do you have any hobbies outside of hockey, or is it just hockey all the time for you?
I mean, right now it's kind of hockey all the time, but I'm certainly into a couple of different things. I love playing basketball. I've played trumpet my whole life, so I play trumpet when I can. It's been a little harder the past 2 years with the pandemic and everything. But I usually play like trumpet at church on Christmas Eve mass. It's something I look forward to every year. And I love watching some shows. I mean, let's be honest, right? The pandemic has changed our lifestyle a lot in many different ways, but it's allowed me to be able to take a break from hockey here and there and, you know, catch up on some good shows. Yeah, some of my favorite shows are like Ozark, Better Call Saul, stuff like that. But there's a bunch. I've probably watched like 100 shows in the past 2 years or something. So it's been a lot of fun.
Like
everybody
I'm
sure everybody else has done the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ozark, I just finished that one actually a couple of weeks ago. The latest season was really good, I thought.
Yeah, and Better Call Saul's coming back after like a 2 year absence. I can't wait for that. Been waiting for it for a long time. Glad that Bob Odenkirk is healthy after his scare, and you know, that's probably my most anticipated show in my life when that comes back, because it's my favorite for sure.
It's great. It's kind of, I mean, I loved Breaking Bad. That was one of my all-time favorite shows. And this one, very similar, right? In the same type of universe and kind of a slow burn type of show, but it's great. I actually just watched Bob Odenkirk in that movie, Nobody. I'm not sure if you've seen that one yet.
I haven't, no. Okay,
if you get some
time,
that's a good watch. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Okay, let's move into some hockey talk here. I just want to get your opinion. In your mind, which player's been the most fun to watch so far this season?
I mean, right now it feels like Jack Hughes is kind of blossoming before our eyes a little bit, no matter who he plays with. He's a multi-point machine. I was high on him in the preseason, but he missed some time with injury, missed some time with COVID. You know, the Devils have been up and down. So the most exciting player to me is probably Igor Shesterkin from the Rangers. The fact that he's in the MVP race as a goaltender is, of course, a wonder in itself. But when you look at the fact that the Rangers are like the second worst team in possession shot attempts percentage, I mean, how is he doing this? He's holding them on his shoulders on a nightly basis. So, yeah, there are so many great stories, so many breakout players. Even some of the bottom teams right now are playing really well, like the Devils and Montreal and Buffalo is hit or miss, but they still, you know, have a good trajectory for the long term, I think. But yeah, I would probably say Shesterkin just because I have him in one league and he's carrying me and he's carrying the Rangers to an even greater extent.
Yeah, he's been fantastic this year. I actually got him in one league as well. He fell to me in the eighth round in one of our leagues that we play in. So
nice.
He's been pretty special this year, yeah. Give us your Stanley Cup final prediction at this point in the season.
I mean, I'll stick with what I had at the beginning of the season. It's not anything too out of left field. It's Colorado over Tampa Bay. I really think Vegas, if they get healthy at the right time, even if they're the eighth seed, you know, let's fast forward and say they get fully healthy at the right time and they're the eighth seed. I have full expectation that they could go on a run and win the whole thing. So, you know, not so fast on Colorado. I love that team. I think they're stacked. This is their best chance yet to win the cup. But, you know, style of play is a concern for me. Can Nazem Kadri stay in the lineup is probably the most important thing. And how they approach the trade deadline is going to impact what their roster looks like. If they go out there and get Claude Giroux, they're going to have to probably pay the price for it and move somebody on the roster. But then again, Vegas is going to be in the same boat, right? Like when everybody comes back, unless it's a long-term IR thing, like they're going to have to trade somebody to make room for Pacioretty, Stone. Now Eichel's back. Martinez is coming back. Leonard's back. So there's not enough room for everybody. So the trade deadline is definitely going to have an impact on the cream of the crop teams, Colorado and definitely Vegas.
Okay, good stuff. Well, we'll cover them in depth a little bit later in the show here, but I definitely want to talk about Colorado. They're obviously a very interesting team this year. Who's your pick for the Calder Trophy this season? There's lots of great candidates out there. I'd like to get your perspective on it.
A lot of under the radar candidates for sure. And guys emerging in the past, like 2 weeks or so too, guys who have had strong numbers all year, but now you could say maybe have joined the Calder race, right? Like Michael Bunting's joined the Calder race with that 5-point game and the big 10 goal outburst last weekend. Jeremy Swayman looks like the clear number one for Boston. After Tuukka Rask retired, he's been lights out. And those guys will get into the conversation. But my preseason pick was Trevor Zegras, and he keeps it going. And he has the flair where, like, it's humans voting for the award. And I feel like Trevor Zegras' impact, as long as he doesn't fall off a cliff with his production, he's been a little inconsistent the past few months, but still has a ton of multi-point games and the flair and everything like that. So if I were to pick, I would say, again, go back to my preseason instincts and go with Trevor Zegras. But a lot of rookies coming on strong. It's going to be a good race for sure. And also some other guys, like, I don't want to forget, like, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. Those guys have been more consistent than Zegras. And the fact that they're doing it for one of the worst teams in the league at their ages has been pretty amazing. So I would say, like, the favorite right now is probably Mo Sider, because of what he's done at such a young age playing on defense for a bad team has been insane, and he's on a great point streak right now. But my instinct says Trevor Zegras at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a strong case, given what he did with that Michigan goal and just the amount of buzz he generated around the league. Right. I mean, there were people from other sports, celebrities, everybody's talking about that goal. Like you said, humans are voting on the award, so that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, John, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this seems like one of the more exciting Calder races in recent memory, so.
Definitely.
It's got me fired up about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems like some of the other candidates at the goalie position and the defenseman position have, you know, kind of fizzled out. It seems like Swayman as the goalie, Sider as the defenseman. It's a shame that Bowen Byram's been injured so much. Hope to see him come back in time for the playoffs and just be healthy again for sure. And then, you know, at the forward position, there have been other guys, like even Tanner Janot has a case. I don't know that he's going to win the award playing as a power forward, like on a third line for Nashville, but he deserves a shout out for what he's done. And I believe he's an undrafted player. So that just makes it even more crazy what he's been able to put together in his rookie season after being completely overlooked by the whole league.
Well, and he'd get our vote too, just based on the fact that he's from Saskatchewan, and we're all out of Saskatchewan here.
Nice,
so.
Nice.
Who would be your front runner for the Hart Trophy right now? There could be an argument made for Austin Matthews, for Leon Draisaitl, for lots of different guys. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's becoming a Matthews Shesterkin type thing, but I do believe there are cases for other guys. What Huberdeau has done on a separate line from Alexander Barkov, yeah, the past 2 years, and especially this year, like among the scoring leaders in the league, has been insane. So he's a contender. Alex Ovechkin has that narrative and everything with chasing the goal record. And I know that certainly, you know, he's going through a tough time right now. And the Capitals have been struggling, especially in home games lately. But they should turn it around, right? They got Oshie back. They're getting they got Mantha back yesterday. So, you know, their goaltending has been kind of an up and down seesaw, but Vanacek's back now. So if the Capitals get their act together and become a little bit more consistent, nobody should overlook Ovechkin winning that award with what he's doing at his age. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. But nobody's been better than Shesterkin. Nobody's been more valuable to his team than Shesterkin has, right?
And I guess that really, if you're looking at it, that's the way it's phrased, right? And he has been incredibly important to the New York Rangers. So kudos to him.
For sure.
Now we'll get into some fantasy hockey related stuff here. I'm curious, what is your approach to the fantasy hockey trade deadline? Are you someone who typically makes major acquisitions? Do you kind of stand pat with your team and work the wire? What's your perspective there?
I never go too overboard with trading for someone before they get traded. Like, of course, you know, I don't make a lot of fantasy trades in general, but I know everybody else does. So I try to point them in the right direction and try to not. And you could always look at our rankings, NHL.com/fantasy, our top 200, where all the positions are next to each other. And if you need a defenseman, you could say, all right, you know, whoever it is in the same range as this forward, and I could package them in a trade, and you could try to let it point you in the right direction there. But my favorite thing for the trade deadline in fantasy is to see the guys that are available in my league. Like right now, Jake DeBrusk, Jacob Chychrun, Mark Giordano, guys that are actually out there and likely to be moved. You know, Phil Kessel might be out there somewhere. And then you can pick them up now. They get moved to the right team. Then you hit the home run. If they move to a place where they're in a diminished role compared to what they are at now, then you could always just drop them. But it's the less risky, higher reward type thing. You don't want to sell off a lot of things to get Claude Giroux, and then he's playing on the third line for the Avalanche. So, but I think that pickup route, especially for some of the sneaky, underrated trades, I mean, look at how much of a home run Sam Bennett was last year going from Calgary to Florida. And that's in covering categories. Yeah. Like, that's the perfect example that we could always remember. A guy that never got the opportunity really to play in the top six in Calgary goes to Florida, plays with Huberdeau. The rest is history. He's like a top 50 to 75 fantasy asset moving forward for as long as he's playing for the Panthers.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I managed to pick him up in one league this year too, or through the draft.
Nice.
Does your trade strategy, I guess, like you said, you don't do a ton of trading, but if you did, I mean, is it going to vary based on team standings? Like if you're in first or fifth or 12th, how do you look at it, or how would you approach that? Or what would your advice be to listeners?
Well, I know circumstances are different. Sometimes you've been, you know, in a keeper league and this is your year to try to win it. Maybe if you've never won your league before, so you can afford to take some more risk with future picks. I don't like to deal, you know, future first or second or third or fourth, like the top four rounds of a keeper league draft. Like I would never trade one of my first four picks, just because I always want to be in contention in my leagues for the long haul. So it's just my personal preference. But, you know, certainly you could trade some future picks. Like you really want to win that league, you trade like a fourth, fifth, or sixth rounder to get the guy that you need. But again, you don't want to break up your team completely. And a lot of the things come down to random things during the fantasy playoffs. You know, I think probably stick with the team that got you there in roto leagues, but it could be a little less hesitant to make a big, you know, blockbuster to solidify yourself as, you know, first or second place team in your league if you're in a head-to-head league. So, yeah, you could always hit me up too at NHL Jensen, like with your specific trade proposals. And, you know, whether it's like people hit us up on DMs on the Instagram account or on replies on the Twitter account most often, but whatever you're most comfortable with. I understand people don't want to, you know, give away all their, you know, my tips to the rest of their league. So, yeah, it's up to the individual and what they want to do with reaching out to us. But myself and Nick Alberga, definitely very interactive with fans. And we talk about fan questions on our show every single episode, which I think is important to, because we see what affects our fantasy teams, but we want to get the pulse of the fans and what they're thinking and who they want to pick up and point them in the right direction whenever we can. So the fans are a great resource to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed just in the time we've been doing this, sometimes there's things that a fan will bring up or a listener will bring up that I hadn't really considered or thought about too much. And then that gets you, kind of sends you down the rabbit hole and you started evaluating players differently, right? So, okay, well, with that, I just want to do a quick shout out here for NHLShop.ca. the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, a proud partner of NHLShop.ca, the best source for all your officially licensed NHL apparel and merchandise. Follow the links in our show notes or on our website. Save up to 50% on select apparel now and get free shipping on orders over $99. Use promo code NHLFS99 at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content and fueling Tyler's gambling habits. And that's usually a shot at Tyler, but he's not on the show today. So, Pete, thank you for sitting tight with us there on that one. I wanted to move on to the NHL trade deadline, buyers and sellers. And we've kind of got, there's quite a list of potential buyers and a list of potential sellers. And so, you know, in your mind, which teams do you expect to be the most active at the trade deadline in terms of buyers?
I mean, I do expect the Avalanche to do something. I do expect the teams like the Edmonton Oilers, Pittsburgh Penguins to be maybe a little more desperate than the Avalanche. I mean, there's something to be said about the Avs just wanting to get into the playoffs on a high note, healthy, not disrupt their roster too much. Whereas a team like Pittsburgh, especially this year, they're not going to be running into the Islanders, which is good for them in the first round. They have a real chance to come out of that division, like, right? I think they could play with any of those teams. I would give them the edge in a series against the Capitals. I'd give them the edge in the series against the Rangers. And even a team like Carolina, you know, as long as Tristan Jarry's playing at a high level, I think they could go toe-to-toe with them as well, so in the Metro Division. So, but again, Pittsburgh, with all their guys on expiring contracts, right? Like Brian Rust, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. It feels like this is the last hurrah for them. They actually could go on a deep yep. run, and they have that like Brian Burke type short-term mentality in terms of trying to, you know, compete for a cup here and now and let the rest sort itself out down the line. So I think Pittsburgh's going to make a move, and I think they need to make a move if they're really going to think about contending for a cup realistically with teams like whoever they're going to play potentially in the Atlantic, whether it's Tampa, Florida, or maybe Toronto. You know, they're going to need something to set them apart from whichever of those teams they're going to cross paths with in the best case scenario.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I've been hearing some talk about Kasperi Kapanen potentially being moved. I mean, he has not been overly productive this season playing alongside Evgeny Malkin. Maybe a more high-profile winger comes in, and you know, that seems like a Brian Burke type thing to do. Maybe bolstering their defense never hurts to add some depth to your D going into the playoffs, but time will tell. I guess on that note too, between Carolina, Florida, Colorado, and Tampa, I mean, of those teams, which one do you think is most likely to make a move? I mean, none of them have a ton of cap space, my understanding. And like you alluded to earlier, you don't really want to rock the boat too much. Colorado, you know, they're winning. Carolina's winning. Florida, like, you know, how much do you do? You don't want to break up the chemistry. So is there one team there that sticks out to you?
It's going to be interesting to see what goes on with the Florida Panthers because they're so deep. They have the assets to make a move. I mean, they would probably have to part ways with one of their good third liners or fourth liners, but you know, if that means they could get Jacob Chychrun or something, like maybe that would help them put them over the top in a series against Tampa Bay. They'll have Ekblad healthy this year and playing in top form, we hope, and an even deeper lineup than last year, I think, with how good the third line has been with Lundell and Marchment. But again, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, who's beaten that team when they have all five of their stars healthy? So I still think Florida is probably going to be looking to put themselves over the edge in the right direction if they can, if the opportunity presents itself. So, yeah, Carolina, you know, I'm not really sure how patient they're going to be. They've been deep in the playoffs before. It seems like they retooled in the offseason and maybe they're a little bit better than last year. So do they disrupt anything? It may depend on whether Tony DeAngelo's healthy. So it's probably going to depend on, like, if DeAngelo's back by then, maybe the Hurricanes stand pat. If the Florida Panthers are able to get the right player, I wouldn't be surprised to see them wheel and deal and improve their roster and their chances of competing with Tampa.
Okay, good stuff. One question we've had lots of is around the goaltending situations in St. Louis, Toronto, and Washington. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be for fantasy managers with shares in those goalies?
Right. So it seems like when Vanacek is healthy, he's the guy. It's a really good move for them to get him back from Seattle when you think about that Seattle took him in the expansion draft and then ended up signing Grubauer. I mean, if the Capitals didn't have Vanacek this season, they might not even be a playoff team. So as crazy as that sounds, and so it's good for them that they have him back. St. Louis, Binnington's been a little bit better lately. That's good to see. St. Louis needs that contract to age a little bit better than it has because Husso is a UFA after this year. So even though he's been like one of the breakout goalies of the season, are they really going to invest long-term in Ville Husso with all the money they're paying Binnington? I don't know. They probably want to, but they're not able to. So I know they have a couple of contracts coming off this year. So maybe they can. Maybe they will go. Maybe they will bring Husso back. But I think Binnington definitely has a chance to reaffirm himself as the 1A at the very least come the playoffs. But at least they have a good option either way. And then Toronto's like tough because I know they're one of the top favorites futures wise right now, but I'm just not that convinced in that team. I know that they have the offensive flair and Matthews, Marner, Bunting has been one of the best lines in the league over the past month or two, but I just don't trust the back end as much. And like Mrazek's been winning some games, but then he lost to Buffalo and his save percentage has been low all season. And Campbell's come back down to earth after elite play over the first 2 months. So I can't say with confidence that I trust Toronto's defense or their goaltending right now. So how in the world are they going to get past Florida and Tampa in the playoffs? I mean, it's just, it seems a little unlikely. Of course, it's possible with the caliber of players they have, but seems unlikely to me because it's a very difficult path. So I'm probably most worried about Toronto's goaltending. And I don't even know if they have the flexibility to make any upgrade in that department in the off season. So they're kind of stuck right now and just hoping that one of those two guys bounces back and runs with it come playoff time. Campbell was good in the playoffs last year, so maybe they do have some hope, but they certainly got to turn it around compared to what they're doing right now.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, for me, I haven't looked at the numbers to actually assess it, but I think Campbell is going to sort of come back here later in the season. And I think, too, they're kind of giving him some time to rest up and get ready for the playoffs, right? That's where we see more starts from Mrazek. So I think they'll be okay. But yeah, if you're a late Maple Leafs fan, you're probably a little concerned like you are most years going into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they have such a long playoff series win drought. The Panthers do as well. I would think the Panthers would be more likely to end that drought this particular season, but you never know. I mean, if they play each other, that would be a high scoring series, Florida and Toronto, and anything could happen. I mean, in a series like that, it would probably be better for Toronto to go in as the underdog and just say, hey, we could score with these guys every single night. We, you know, I think a higher scoring series might play into Toronto's favor a little bit. So, because Florida's defense and goaltending, they give up a lot of high danger chances lately. And I mean, Bobrovsky has had a great season overall, but he has been a liability come playoff time with the goals he gives up through the years, except for that one year when Columbus upset Tampa Bay. I mean, he doesn't have a great playoff track record. And Spencer Knight this year has been one of the most disappointing players for me fantasy-wise in the whole league, because I got him on two of my teams and he's been in the AHL lately. You know, I still have a lot of faith in him long-term, but I'm just surprised to see that he hasn't been able to play better, especially with one of the best offenses and overall teams in front of him every single night.
As a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of DraftKings. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs 360 windmill good. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still take your shot at a big payday. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings daily fantasy basketball contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, bet just $1 on any NBA team, and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited, minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Yeah, it's been puzzling for sure. I tried to stay away just because of the limited sample size, and you just never know with young goaltenders, right? So, interesting. Okay, let's take a minute here just to talk about sellers. There's a few of them here, and I guess one that I wanted to talk about was Anaheim. I kind of see them, you know, they're close. They're right there. They're on the cusp. They could make the playoffs in theory still, but there's a lot of teams in front of them that are good teams, right? And So I wonder, you know, John Gibson's been struggling. If you're a fantasy manager and you own John Gibson, what's your approach to the trade deadline? Are you going to try and sell on him? Because he's been, his numbers have not been good and the team has been just kind of okay lately. But what's your thought on that?
Yeah, this has happened a number of years in the past 5 years with Gibson, where he starts the season strong and the team maybe overachieves a little bit. This year has been different because they have some actual young talent that's going to really materialize. It's already materializing. It's going to be one of the most exciting young teams to watch in the years to come, but they're just not quite there yet as a group overall. So yeah, I mean, I know like Ricard Raquel is a UFA after this year. Getzlaff re-signed on a one-year deal, so I don't know what their strategy is going to be, but they're probably not going to make the playoffs. I know they're still within striking distance, but I don't see them passing Vegas. I don't see them passing Calgary. Certainly, they're starting to run away with it. But then even teams like Edmonton, Edmonton has so much more consistent star power. If they get a goalie or if Koskinen keeps his good play going, they'll make it over Anaheim. And even LA, like LA, I know they've had a bad week here, but they've been one of the most consistent teams in the whole Western Conference this year. So I just don't see them having a leg up or earning a leg up over any of those other teams that I just mentioned. And they're going to be, if they're competing for a wild card, there are a bunch of teams in their own division in pursuit of that. There's also Dallas and Winnipeg and, you know, some of those teams in the Central. So if you're competing for that last wild card spot, it's probably too tall of a task. They would have to jump up to three in the Pacific, which seems highly unlikely right now.
Okay, and just in the interest of time here, because I know you have to get going here pretty soon, Pete, but I just want to go rapid fire through our trade deadline targets.
Sure.
So I've just got a few questions for each guy. You can just give me a yay or an A. First up here, Claude Giroux from the Flyers. He's a pending UFA, obviously. Lots of talk around him. What's your confidence level that that player has moved at the deadline? Out of five. One to five. Five being most likely.
Probably five, just because Philly really needs to reset here and they could get something good in return for him. And I think Claude Giroux deserves to go on a Stanley Cup playoff run with somebody else at this point. So I know he's been captain there for a while, but it's it seems like the writing is on the wall with Giroux getting moved to a contender at the deadline.
And do you think that's going to have a positive or negative impact on his fantasy value?
It depends where he goes. If he goes to, you know, deep offenses like Colorado, Minnesota, St. Louis, it might have a negative impact if he's playing on their second or third line. And of course, a player like Giroux is so valuable in reality because he could play center or wing. So they could really mix and match. And we've seen it like even this year, right? Like look at how big of an addition Sam Reinhart was for the Panthers. Plays some center, mostly wing this year, but has played on like every single different line, it feels like, throughout the season. And early on, he had some growing pains and some adjustment pains and wasn't producing a point per game. Now he is. Now he's picked it up over the past 2 months. But you don't have 2 months when you get traded at the deadline. You have like, right, like 20 games or something like that. So usually, so
yeah, that's right.
That's my only concern with Giroux. So it could very well negatively affect his fantasy value, but I'd still, if I have him right now in fantasy, I would definitely hold on to him just to see. Because if he goes to Minnesota, he'll play on the top line with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, and then he could be one of the top centers in the game. So don't lose faith in Giroux. Try to be patient there right now.
Okay. Thomas Hertl, confidence level the players moved?
It's higher now that they're falling out of it, but it seems like the Sharks really don't want to rebuild. So, you know, from a, like even their president was saying, like from a business standpoint, they want to remain an attractive entertainment destination in their area. So, and I know Hurdle's been a huge part of their playoff runs through the years. The year they went to the conference final in 2019, he scored some epic goals during that run, and I believe he's you know, atop their you know, whether it's goals, points, he's one of their leaders this year, along with Timo Meier. So those guys probably want to play together if the Sharks don't want to go into a rebuild and want to go back to the drawing board for next year with a healthy Erik Karlsson, who looked pretty good prior to his injury. They may very well not trade Tomas Hertl. So if we're doing 1 to 5, maybe I'd do 2 or 3 for Tomas Hertl, just because it seems like there's a team hesitation there to move that player.
Okay. And do you see his fantasy prospects kind of going up or down? I mean, obviously, yeah, it depends on where he gets moved. But, I mean, he's a pretty high-profile player for them, so I can't – I mean, yeah, what's your thought?
It would probably go up. I mean, right now I believe I dropped him out of the top 100 forward rankings this week, just because he hasn't been producing lately and the Sharks are not going upward right now. So I'd certainly put him back in if he went to almost any team out there, especially a contender, because especially at the center position, if someone's given up a lot to San Jose to get him, you're going to have to give up a lot to get Hertl, because if they keep him, they're going to probably try to re-sign him, and he probably would re-sign there. I know he likes it there. So you're going to have to give up a lot. So then you'd probably be a top 6 forward, first or second line center for a contender, and more solidified lineup placement than Giroux, you would think. So, yeah, it would almost certainly improve his fantasy stock if he gets traded.
Okay. Just, I want to do one D-man and one goalie, and then we'll let you get on your way here.
Sure.
There's been lots of talk about Jacob Chychrun, so maybe I'll just breeze over him. I think we're all fairly certain a trade will happen there at some point, but a guy like John Klingberg I find interesting because Dallas is still so much in the playoff mix. And they don't want to lose him. He's a pending UFA, but it doesn't sound like they're going to be able to re-sign him either, right? So what's your take on that situation? Is he going to get moved, and what's your confidence level?
I would be more surprised if he's moved now because, you know, looking at the standings, Dallas 63 points, Nashville 64, they've closed that gap. So it's kind of like along the similar lines of Philip Forsberg in Nashville, maybe not to the same extent where, you know, if Nashville's really going to try to stay in contention now and in the years to come, Forsberg's their, you know, either second or third best player behind Saros and Roman Josi. But I think like Dallas is probably a win now team, even though they have some good young talent like Robertson, Hintz, and Haskinen, who I think has a higher ceiling in the years to come. They feel like, and Ottinger has been a breakout goalie, still very young, but they got a lot of older guys on Dallas, and I feel like they might try to get back deep in the playoffs and make a run in the Central with Klingberg. And then even if they lose him in the offseason, so be it. So earlier in the year, it really sounded like Klingberg was going to get traded. But now that they're in contention, I'd almost be very surprised if he actually was traded. So much more likely that Chychrun gets traded, or Giordano seems like almost a certainty right now that he's going to get moved in the final year of his contract and the first year of the Kraken existence.
Yeah, or potentially a guy like Jeff Petrie, who there's been lots of speculation about him being moved as well.
True, and he's playing well right now, Petrie, so boosting his trade stock. They already traded to Foley, so I don't think they'll hesitate in moving him if the price is right.
No question. And then just moving on to goaltenders here really quickly, probably the biggest name on the board, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. John is the president of that fan club, he'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Pending UFA, $7 million AAV. He's been okay, but I mean, Chicago hasn't been very good this year. So what is your take on that? Does he get moved? How confident are you in that? And I think we can all expect his fantasy value is going to go up regardless of where he gets moved to.
Yeah, and you know, earlier in the year before Kemper went on a heater, we were talking about maybe the Avalanche, but it seems like that's probably not going to happen anymore. Now that Leonard is back, Vegas most likely, unless he really continues to struggle, they're probably not going to address goaltending. So it might come down to what happens in the next 2 weeks. If Tristan Jarry goes into a tailspin, or if the Oilers have no answers and they can make room for for Fleury, I guess it would depend where Fleury wants to go, but you know, I'd be very, very surprised. Just, this is no, you know, I have no idea what the Blackhawks are thinking, but they got him for literally nothing in the off season. It was a salary dump by Vegas in his final year of his contract. So why wouldn't they trade him? What, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is probably not going to re-sign there. There's no reason for him to, because the Blackhawks are not going in the right direction with their performance. So, you know, considering they got him for absolutely nothing, why not get something back? You could probably get something pretty good back from the Oilers, who they swung a trade with earlier in the year for Duncan Keith, right? So wouldn't be surprised if they try to make that happen. But even if it's not the Oilers, reunion in Pittsburgh would be awesome to see. If Washington has another injury, they might be in the mix. Who knows? But I would be very, very shocked if Marc-Andre Fleury was not traded, just because of what the Blackhawks have a chance to do to flip the asset that they got for nothing.
Perfect. Well, we could sit and chat hockey all day, Pete, really,
but
we know you've got other things you got to get to. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. Maybe just let our listeners know one last time where they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, sure. Hit me up anytime at NHL Jensen, Twitter and Instagram. I also run the NHL Fantasy Twitter and Instagram accounts, so you can get on me there. Hit me up with your waiver wire pickups. If you have a question that you want to hear us talk about on the show, me and Nick Alberga and whoever we're having on that day as a guest, we'd be happy to answer that for you, whether we dismiss someone picking somebody up or we say, you know, full throttle, go for it. It's always good debate, and we'll never, you know, there's never like a question that we would dismiss completely. So if anything, we'll just toss you a reply and say we wouldn't make that trade, or we wouldn't make that pickup, or we would. Sometimes we give short answers. Sometimes it goes into a 5-minute conversation on our podcast. So we encourage you to reach out to us, check out the show, NHL Fantasy on Ice. And yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Thanks a lot, Pete. Really appreciate it. My apologies, guys. I've got my son here. He wants to jump on the pod, of course. So anyway, I guess for our listeners, check us out on Twitter at FH Hacks, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Check out our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. And if you have any questions, send us an email, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Special thanks to Mike McLaughlin and Left Wing Lock, our partner over there. And yeah, thanks, guys. It's been a lot of fun. We'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Thanks, good night.
Yeah, no problem. That was great.
Take care.